From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Carol Bousquet with the news on This Day in Maine, Wednesday, July 8, 2026.
This Day in Maine is made possible in part by Now You're Cooking. Celebrating 26 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath. Open 7 days a week.
As Maine Democrats wait for Graham Plattner to drop out of the U.S. Senate race, tensions have surfaced between his campaign and state party leaders who will be charged with replacing him on the November ballot. The party has accused Plattner's team of trying to meddle in the process. The campaign rejects that assertion, but some Democrats are anxious about what comes next. Steve Missler has more.
Ann Lynn Krueger believes Graham Plattner. The Bar Harbor resident says the rape allegation by a former girlfriend reported by Politico this week is credible, but she believes his denial. She also thinks he needs to get out of the race, and soon.
It's not a matter of veracity. It's not a matter of his proving his innocence or, you know, proving his guilt. It's a matter of political viability, and there is no honorable or practical path forward for this campaign. And, you know, it distresses me to say that, but I don't think there's any way around it.
Krueger says she volunteered for Plattner's campaign from practically day one, back when the combat veteran and oysterman rocketed from political obscurity to become the Democratic nominee to take on Republican Senator Susan Collins in November. She's invested in the movement he built and hopeful that another Democrat can carry his platform. But she's also worried about the Maine Democratic Party, which will shape the process to replace Plattner if he drops out of the race.
My impression of the state party was that it was pretty worthless. So I am indeed afraid that they will be ham-handed about it. But they're all we have. And I just feel like they have to do whatever they're going to do as quickly as they can.
This mistrust of the Democratic establishment has been a central feature of Plattner's campaign. He channeled the frustrations Democratic voters have with the national officials that recruit candidates and with the politicians who failed to stop President Donald Trump from winning a second term. Now, as the scandal-plagued candidate seems poised to quit the race, his campaign is locked in an internecine battle with the state party. And on Tuesday, the public got a rare glimpse of that fight, when Devin Murphy Anderson, executive director of the party, released a video seemingly validating national reports that Plattner's team was meddling in the replacement process.
Unfortunately, Graham Plattner's team has repeatedly reached out to us in an attempt to put their thumb on the scale of what this process looks like. We have repeatedly reiterated to Graham Plattner's team that they have no role in determining our next Democratic nominee for the U.S. Senate.
Murphy Anderson's statement played into anonymously sourced news stories that Plattner's campaign is trying to make sure his replacement is a progressive firebrand, and making that a condition of his withdrawal from the race before Monday's crucial deadline. Officials with his campaign sharply disputed that characterization, saying in a statement that it's only trying to make sure that state party leaders involve the 150,000 voters who picked Plattner in the primary. Darcy Halverson, a member of the state committee who voted for Plattner but feels betrayed by his scandals, says the campaign should have no input.
I don't care how much of the vote he got. This guy should not be allowed to dictate the terms of how we select his replacement. He lost that right when he was, you know, the scandal after scandal after scandal. And now he's been accused of rape.
Halverson isn't totally sure that Plattner himself is trying to call the shots. She blamed his team of out-of-state consultants.
They're done. You brought in a horrible candidate with a slew of baggage, and you need to just step aside. You need to get out of Maine, leave us alone.
Plattner's team has been working with other congressional candidates across the country, mounting primary challenges and working outside the political establishment and angering it along the way. Plattner's cratering candidacy has emboldened party officials. But on Wednesday, his campaign claimed that the state party is consulting with D.C. Democrats and planned to pick his successor behind closed doors. And now it says it's conducting a 48-hour survey of Plattner supporters, a move that could be interpreted as further delaying his withdrawal from the race. Halverson says the longer he waits, the worse it gets for Democrats who want to unseat Collins in November.
I think we're up against it. I think the clock is ticking.
If Plattner doesn't exit the race by Monday at 5 p.m., Democrats won't be able to replace him. But even if they can, they could encounter the same criticism that national Democrats did when they replaced President Joe Biden with Vice President Kamala Harris during the 2024 presidential race. Ann Lynn Krueger is among the Democrats getting flashbacks.
It could be a Biden do-over, yes, and I don't really see a way around that.
That's arguably a pragmatic view of the situation, but just like in 2024, some Democrats may not accept it. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Some Maine consumers will be compensated as part of a multi-million dollar settlement reached with the company behind a popular peer-to-peer payment app, according to State Attorney General Aaron Fry. Maine joined a coalition of 45 other states in a lawsuit against Block, Inc. over the safety of its platform known as Cash App. The lawsuit alleged that the company failed to protect consumers from fraud on the app or to provide fraud protection services as promised. Maine's portion of the settlement is more than $338,000. Block, Inc. also agreed to offer live customer support to resolve fraud complaints and other problems. Consumers may receive additional payouts through a separate settlement between Block, Inc. and the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. A judge has suspended a Maine immigration lawyer after the state bar said he failed to appropriately communicate with his clients, collected improper fees, and broke confidentiality. Felix Haganemana was suspended earlier this month after the Board of Overseers of the bar petitioned the court based on evidence they had collected. The Maine Supreme Judicial Court found multiple violations and determined that his conduct served as a, quote, imminent threat to clients, the public, and the administration of justice. Hundreds of Haganemana's clients will now have to find new attorneys to represent them, including some who are actively detained. Maine utility regulators will consider approving the state's first residential electric microgrid for a housing development in Saco. Developer Bob Goodrow says efficient heating, cooling, and appliances for the Clover Leaf apartments will be powered primarily by an on-site solar and battery array.
It's a pretty interesting dynamic between the array or production storage and being able to put excess power out into the grid.
Tenants of the 128-unit developments will be charged a flat rate for electric service. Microgrids like this were authorized under a 2020 state law, but still require approval from Maine utility regulators. Unionized Bangor City employees say they've successfully bargained for an additional week of vacation after nearly 2 years of negotiations. According to a social media post from Maine AFL-CIO, the city had given an extra week of vacation to non-union employees in 2024. The union pushed back, but were told they would have to sacrifice comp time in exchange for vacation. The new contract went into effect July 1st. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join Erwin Gratz for Morning Edition tomorrow, starting at 5. I'm Carol Bousquet. Thanks for listening.